Today on Real Radio.
Now, that's not a verse we all want to memorize, but you and I will live this verse. Some of us are living it now. I believe as time goes on, that verse will become more important to us.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his verse-by-verse series through Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. We're looking at the so-called love chapter, chapter 13, one of my favorites in the whole Bible. Now, much like the 23rd Psalm and a lot of other popular passages, 1 Corinthians 13 is often cited and quoted and printed on greeting cards. But as we're learning in Pastor Jack's impassioned presentation, it's often misunderstood, or at least underinterpreted, because Paul is talking about divine love. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson called Finding the Love of Your Life.
And when we look at Jesus and the magnitude of who and what he is, in the grandeur of his person, I say with Isaiah, woe unto me. My lips are filthy. I dwell in the midst of an unclean people, and I myself am unclean. And you say, Jack, you're melodramatic over this, really? Then why did Paul, or why did Peter say, depart from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man? Why did Paul say, I'm the chief among sinners? Why did the apostles say, in belief and in action, you alone are God? You alone, Peter said, have the words of eternal life. What is your view of the grandeur of God? Ephesians 3:19 says, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. This is an interesting, listen to this. To know the love of God which passes knowledge. Okay, is that a contradiction or what? How can you know something that passes knowledge? It is impossible unless God opens your heart to this. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. If you want to memorize a verse, that's a verse. Ephesians 3:19, that'll keep you busy for the rest of your life. So where do we start with a statement like this? And how do we begin to understand this thing about the love of God and how we are to live it out as Christians in this agapeo love, the agape love of God? One more verse before we get into the verse 4 today is 2 Timothy 3:16. I love this verse. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, for all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It means that God breathed it into existence. Well, men wrote the Bible. Men wrote the Bible possessed by the Holy Spirit. That's why it's got no mistakes. There's no mistakes in the Bible. How could that happen? Because God did it. And the amazing part, if God would have written it and then dropped it out of heaven and landed on the ground, I get that, but he used flawed people, and it's still perfect. Isn't that amazing? Look what it says. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And we would want to ask the question, why? How come? That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And what is amazing about that is that we just might be entering into the deepest water we have ever entered as a church or as Christians as we begin to unpack this study. Number one, jot it down. Finding the love of your life, found in verse 4, is finding him who is altogether humble. Write it down. You must study this. To find the love of your life is to find him, God. Jesus Christ lives it out, and God exposes himself to the world, isn't it remarkable, as one being humble. Humble. We look at humility as a weakness. We're so far from God. We've been told to stick our chest out, to force our way. If you get pushed back, make it happen. If you get told to sit down, stand up and push. You've got your right. Jesus comes along and exposes himself to humanity. And what did, I ask you, what did humanity do to him? People would say, well, I'd love to walk with Jesus today if he could just come back and be like it was back then. Do you know what would happen if he came back like it was back then? This world would kill him all over again. Jesus came humbly, riding on the back of a donkey, the Bible says. He was born in a stable. Doesn't that sounds kind of almost cool. He was born in a stable in Bethlehem. I've been to Bethlehem. I fell into one of those stables. Physically, you see, what are you talking about? Because our little nativity scene's got a cute little wooden hut with donkey and camel and sheep strategically placed. There were no wooden stables, nativity scenes in Bethlehem at the birth of Christ. The stables in Bethlehem are caves. Bethlehem is riddled with caves. There's more caves around Bethlehem than you can ever imagine. And you never want to walk around there at night or when it's getting dark. You'll fall in a cave. And I was walking along one time. It was years ago. We had one of our tours. And we were out in the shepherd's fields of Bethlehem. And I'm walking along and, boom, Pastor Jack's gone. Except I wasn't raptured upward. I was hurtled downward into a hole about 15 feet down. Into a cave. Jesus, the Son of God, came humbly, born in a cave, in a stable. They would hollow those things out and there would be a little descending track into a cave or hollowed out of the side of the hill. There'd be a little stable. Jesus was born in a stable. He came humbly. The Bible says in Philippians 2:6, and this is all about love. The love of your life is your humble God, who in Philippians 2, verse 6 says, who being in the form of God, this is awesome, did not consider it robbery. That is, he didn't have to try to announce it, display it, walk around wearing a crown to send the message that he was equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant. Look at this. And coming in the likeness of man. The word is coming in the likeness of humankind. Isn't that amazing, church? Did you hear me this morning? God is humble. And the lover of your soul came in such a level of humility that he put on a human suit to communicate to you and I. He didn't send a message. He didn't write it in the sky with airplanes or angels flying overhead with smoke dots. You know, I love you, signed God. His son, Christ Jesus, came in the apparel of a human, in human skin. If there was ever an alien, it was Jesus Christ. God come in the flesh that he had created. God who is eternal comes and dwells among us who are so limited, who are so frail, who are so weak. And yet the Bible tells us that out of creation, we were the prized creative works of God himself. Isn't that amazing? Well, I think Jupiter looks awesome. And it does look awesome. But according, if there's a picture of you or Jupiter in the hallway, Jesus would be standing looking at you. You have been created in the image of God, not Jupiter. He's humble. Mark this down. By his humility, he puts up with me. Now, you're going to hear a lot of me this morning, but don't get excited. Don't think like I'm exalting myself. It's personal. By his humility, he puts up with me. You would have been offended if I would have said, by his humility, he puts up with you. You would have wrote me a letter over that. And I love you, but I don't care about you right now in this Bible study. God's speaking to me. And he looks at me, and I hope you hear it this way. He looks at me and he says, Jack, because of my nature, I put up with you. He doesn't look at me and say, Jack, because of my nature, I have to put up with you. You're really pushing it, Jack. You're really driving me to the edge. He doesn't do that. We humans do that. I'm to be walking in the love of God. I'm to be like Jesus. And when it says in verse 4, love suffers long, what are we learning? That he puts up with me. This word, love suffers long, listen to this. This love, it means having been wronged, is patient. Silent under pressure. Am I silent under pressure? This love refuses to act in anger. Do I refuse to act in anger when I'm attacked? He does so even though he's justified to act, he doesn't. When you and I have been justifiably hurt, do we not respond or do we take it like Jesus? Oh, we start writing letters. Or we get on the internet or we send some stupid email to something and, oh, you know, I can't believe this. How many emails have you sent and then an hour later you prayed to the God of emails to destroy it because you thought about it? You know what I'm talking about? No, you guys are all, nobody answers to my question. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Ronald Reagan, did you know Ronald Reagan would write a letter and he would never send it until 24 hours later? Because he wanted to review it and think about it and see how his emotions were regarding it. Love suffers long. The word means that God's love suffers long. A love that I'm supposed to be as a Christian exhibiting speaks of loving in difficult and protracted campaigns against me personally. And to put up with those attacks mercifully. This is the love of God. God's love suffers long. You see, all of a sudden, now I see, wait a minute. I can't just read this and say, love suffers long, and go on to the next verse and keep reading and keep reading. We've got to eat this up. We've got to take it in and find out. We've got to ask ourselves the question, because it was directed to the Corinthian believers. Paul was trying to get them to look at their life in light of the love of God, because honestly, they really thought they were something. They were so puffed up. And Paul says, well, I tell you what, God's love suffers long. Matthew 5:11, Jesus says, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you, come against you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Is the attack against you false? Yeah, Pastor, it's false. Jesus said, listen, is it for my sake? Are you living a godly life? Are you walking with me? Are you in obedience to me? Okay, yes. Verse 12, Matthew 5. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Now, that's not a verse we all want to memorize, but you and I will live this verse. Some of us are living it now. I believe as time goes on, that verse will become more important to us. Peter tells us, but may the God of all peace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, complete or perfect you, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Church, listen, the love of God suffers long. And yes, he's saying to you and I, are you guys listening? Yes, he's saying to you and I, this is the love that you are to exhibit towards others. But you can never do that, Jack, unless you get that love from me. This is non-human love. It's got to come from me, Jack. And the only way that you'll get it, to live it in this life, is if you eat it from my hand as your good shepherd. I will feed you this. Then you will give it to others. But without feeding upon my word and upon my nature and knowing this for yourself, you will never be able to live it. Thus, I conclude that unless we as a church take and eat of this word, we will never be able to exercise the gifts of the Holy Spirit rightly without, first of all, preeminently them being exercised in his love. And I cannot get it anywhere else. You can't download it. You cannot drink it. You cannot buy a program. You cannot get it in the mail. You got to get alone with the love of your life, and that is God Almighty. A personal relationship with Christ is all and everything that we need. Love suffers long, and what I must put Jesus through in one day as a Christian. You say, Pastor, you know, what sin do you have in your life that you want to regurgitate right now in front of us? I've got nothing going on in my life. I'm not sleeping with anybody. I don't do drugs. I don't drink. I'm not fighting. I'm none of that stuff. Do you understand? Listen, I'm not doing something. I'm not doing anything. In fact, if I locked myself, watch this. If I locked myself in the room so I would not sin, you know, become a monk, ascend up into the monkery and hide out. Because look, a lot of people did this. And just hide out, I won't sin. You know, Martin Luther tried that. And he said, I found out that the sin was living inside me. It didn't matter where I went. And then if you're really, really good, even if you're really good, let me ask you, those are the sins of commission that you would commit and you make it so that you don't. And then you got to deal with what's in your heart and what's in your mind, your thoughts. That ought to make you sick. Well, you say, well, I'm all these things I've done right from my youth. What next, Jack? You're sinning by sitting in your monkery, being a monk, isolated from the world, because now you're committing sins of omission just by sitting there. What? Are you feeding the homeless? Are you reaching orphans? Are you taking care of those in need? No, I'm in my monkery, hiding out so I don't sin. Well, you're already sinning. Point is, I need God's love. And brother, sister, we've got the best message in the universe. But my love really, really gets in the way because I'm embarrassed to even say it's love. Because my love, I don't have much long suffering. The next thing is this: by his humility, he reaches out to me. Can you imagine? The God of the universe reaches out to me. Love is kind. Look at verse 4. Love is kind. By the way, if you're taking notes or if you write in your Bible, I encourage everyone to write in their Bibles. Circle the word love and put your name right there and Jesus' name. So as we go through this, you could be put your name and put Jesus' name, and then you judge yourself against the truth. Jesus suffers long. Any problem with that? Jack suffers long. I'm done. See you later. Right? Put your name there. And love is kind. Is Jack kind? You might say, Jack, you're so kind. You don't know me. Do I want to be kind? I do. But this word kind means this is the ability to turn around and look at your antagonist. Do you have somebody attacking you? In their face, with a real, true, genuine kindness toward them. It's the turning of the moment into a display of grace and gentleness. Okay, I quit. This love takes the injury and responds back as a defense with kindness. Does Jesus do that? Do I do that? James 1:12 says, blessed is the man who endures temptation. Listen, we think temptation is blessed is the man that endures. Rarely do we think blessed is the man who endures the temptation being violence done against them or attack or criticism or bitterness or hatred or anger. We think in the more lustful sense, and that's not right. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. It was said of Abraham Lincoln, this is beautiful, quote, he never forgot to appreciate a kindness done to him and equally could not remember a wrong. Wouldn't that be great on your tombstone? Abraham Lincoln never forgot to appreciate a kindness done to him and equally could not remember a wrong. Jesus lived this kind of love out in the face of Judas Iscariot, did he not? Isn't it amazing? Do you understand theologically what was going on with Judas Iscariot? Do you understand? Of course, God knows all things. And there's the sovereignty of God, but the responsibility of man. You can't separate the two. God has engineered into our lives, yes, his sovereignty, and at the same time, the responsibility of man. We are to respond in obedience to his sovereignty. So in the Garden of Gethsemane, Judas betrays Jesus, coming up, bringing the legions, coming up, and what does Judas do to Jesus? He walks up to him and he gives him a kiss, does he not? And what does Jesus say? It is a profound theological expose on the heart of God. Jesus says, is it with a kiss that you betray the Son of Man? What was Jesus saying? What was Jesus doing? Jesus, we're thinking, could have said, Judas, you scumball. you filthy, rotten, stinking, good-for-nothing child of Satan himself. It doesn't matter, Judas. You're going to go out and hang yourself pretty soon anyway. You're going to be dead. And then the rope's going to break. You're going to fall down in the valley of Asceldama, and you're going to hit the sharp rocks that are still there to this day, and all your guts are going to explode out of your midsection. That's exactly what happened. That's what I would have said to him. Oh, don't laugh at me. You would have said the same thing. Jesus knew what was coming and still said to him, is it with a kiss that you betray me? He deserves to rot in hell, that murderer. I understand that, but God's love never changes. It doesn't mean that in his sovereignty, he just erases everyone's guilt and shame because he's sweet. He can't do that. He's God. He's holy. That's why the Bible says he weeps over the death of those who don't know him. Oh, my goodness. He reaches out to me. That God would reach out to me is amazing. In Luke 22:48, am I yelling? It's because I'm so excited. I'm sorry. Luke 22:48 says, but Jesus said to him, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? Amazing, the location of a kiss, of the Middle Eastern kiss on both sides of the cheek. That means while Judas was kissing Jesus with a heart of betrayal, Jesus whispered the words. There was still time. And Jesus reaches out to Jack. Jesus reaches out to you. Because if you're listening, if you're breathing, if you're thinking, there's still time. Have you betrayed Christ? Are you rejecting Jesus? Even now, his love is kind and reaches out to you. And so I wrote this, asking myself this question or making this statement. Jesus never stops reaching out to me. I wrote this to myself. Am I that way to other people? And I wrote, no. You say, well, Jack, that's so firm. I know that, but it's because all week I've been looking at myself in light of these scriptures, and I don't like what I see. Number three, he's altogether humbled by his humility. He needs nothing from me. Will you write that down? Love does not envy. The word envy here in Greek means it's that this love and this envy, the love of God and the envy of man, listen, cannot coexist, church. It's impossible.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study that looks at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's called Finding the Love of Your Life. In fact, Finding the Love of Your Life is actually a mini-series taken from this part of Paul's letter. And that means we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, in case you are wondering, we do offer this series, Finding the Love of Your Life, on DVD. It's a four-part message series, might make a nice addition to your library. Now, in Finding the Love of Your Life, Pastor Jack helps us understand this quite familiar passage, 1 Corinthians 13. But this time, we take a good look at God's nature and how he loves. We see that he is altogether humble, consistent, pure, and faithful. That sounds like the right kind of love to me. No wonder it's been said finding him is to find the love of your life. Our offer for your gift of any amount to the broadcast outreach of Real Radio, we'll send you this four-part series on DVD, Finding the Love of Your Life. In fact, we're already hearing from Real Radio listeners asking about it. Get yours as soon as you can. Let me say this again. For your gift of any amount to the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio, we'll send you this series called Finding the Love of Your Life, a four-part DVD set. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. And it's real easy. Just click on the button on the right there that says Special Offer, realradioactive.org. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd like to write to us, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact info can be found right there at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.